Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I'm just going to share something with us quickly. That song, Forever, it's one of my favorite songs. And I mentioned to Haya earlier that it's a morning of celebration. So you better put a smile on your face. Okay. Let's put a smile on our face for what has been done. So I want you to stand up. Because today we're going to celebrate. We can celebrate when Brian Obana is going to go score a try. We can celebrate when we get 20,000 rand in our bank account. But we, when it comes to celebrating Jesus, we normally stand with our hands behind our back. We don't want to partake in that. But this morning you are going to partake in that. So I'm going to read this. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave. The war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King, it sounds better when you sing it. Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. And now you need to start celebrating. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. You better shout more. Don't stop. We need to celebrate. Celebrate what he has done for you on the cross. Your sins have been forgiven. You are free and free in Christ. Come on, let's keep on going. Celebrate. I don't see celebration. You better need to celebrate. Come on. Come on. Come on, that celebration, you can sit, thank you. Okay, I said I'm a smile, so I'll try and smile a lot. But my wife said I look nervous, I'm nervous. But I think the devil is very nervous this morning. So let's get ready. Okay, so I'm not going to focus today on the base and the knowledge and the theology of the cross. But today I'm going to share a word on you. Okay, I've prepared this week, and then the Lord said to me, go back and go read what I've really done for you, okay? What he has done for me, because I tried to put a list down what I think he has done for me. Then he showed me what he has done for me. The old is passed away, behold, the new has come. I've been to many, I'm not that old. Some of you think I'm as old as your parents. I'm not that old, I'm just very gray. So, I've been to a lot of these services, and normally these services end with a video, we cry, we are emotional, we go home, we realize what is done, but tomorrow we're just back into sinning, we're just back into this world, we're just back into our ways. Any? I seen any is here. Now we're going to just back in our ways. And this morning or this week, the Lord just laid something on my heart. It's my joy to lay my life down. It's my joy, my willingness to lay my life down. Today, you're not going to leave here emotional, thinking, what is done for me, being emotional, then tomorrow we go back. Today, we're laying it down. Willingly, we're laying it down joyfully before the Lord. Okay? Not emotional. Hebrews 12, verses 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, I did not give it to her, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My apologies. English is not my first language, so I'll try my best. So what was the joy set before him? The joy which caused him to endure the cross was you. Jesus' love for you was his number one motivator when he went to the cross. So today I'm asking you, what is your joy? What are you laying down today? This morning just confirmed a lot on the preaching, and I said we need to get a preach about it. I think this morning it's that preach. We hope so. Okay, so what is my joy? What does it mean? Rick Warren's definition of joy is, Joy is settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. It requires the utmost surrender, and like love is a choice to be made. Like we said, not a place from emotions. What does laying down mean? Laying down means stepping out, stepping forward to direct towards a target. A dead body is laid down. A seed needs to be laid down and buried in the ground to grow. If I'm done with something, I normally lay it down. I choose to go pick it up again. Okay, so we're going to talk about laying down, but not picking that up again. Jesus laid down everything. Philippians 3, verses 10 till 12. I hope mine this morning, ours didn't match up. So I hope the new international version that I have is the right one. Guy, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Become like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. We are meant to go much deeper in our relationship with Christ. I want to die to this world of sin and temptations so that I can be fully transformed in order to be more like Christ. Jesus was willing to unfairly suffer and die for us. We should be just as eager to suffer and die for him. How do we want to live? We want to live in the fullness of God. We lose our life. We lay things that the world has to offer down at his feet and say, today I'm going to live for you and for you only. This is how you find life. So when you say, I want to live and want to live for you only. The concept of laying down at the feet symbolizes themes such as humility. Paul has been preaching on that. How do I lay down my life? Through humility, servitude, serving the church, serving the people. Laying down, receiving guidance. Paul also, the older people helping the younger people helping the older people. We need to seek guidance. That's how we lay down our lives. Bow your knee to the Lord, a humble and surrendered place. This week, I normally used to be not against that kind of stuff, but to go on my knees before the Lord. I had such a fear of man that what will people think if I bow down on my knees, I never saw that as a place of surrender. Because that's how I saw it, okay? But the Lord changed my opinion. Now I can't wait to bow down on my knee. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of laying it all down before the Lord, saying, your will, not my will. Guy, this week, a lot of these, the Lord just, Aina, everything I read, I'm just, Aina, in my own life, that I need to. I thought I laid it all down. Laying down can be easy if it comes without terms and conditions. Again, it was my terms and conditions. I won't lay it down. I don't see that as the way of laying it down. We like to make everything in life a contract. Everything nowadays, when you sign up something with someone, it comes with a contract, a terms and conditions. With the Lord, it's not like that. It's unconditional. It's unconditional love that died on the cross for you. With laying down something, responsibility comes with that. Normally we think if we lay something down, we can just go up and everything will change from there on. It's not like that. With laying down comes sacrifice. With laying down comes ways where the Lord wants to work through us. A process that you might have to go through. Then I want to ask you this morning, do we only have now in mind? Or are we building for eternal? We are in the process where we're preaching, where we are literally planting a church. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Do we only have now in mind? Because if you only have now in mind, then you will do the things that requires of you now, building our time here on earth, doing things to build my reputation and everything here on earth? Or are we building for eternal, for one day? Are we building together for eternal? And then while I was reading that, it came to mind, what was Jesus' main priority for doing what he did? Jesus' priority through everything was to glorify God and give himself. Jesus' love for God and love for humankind enabled him to put his very life on the line and offer it as a sacrifice. It's a matter of eternity, not the temporary struggle and pain that he had to go through. That temporary pain that he had to go through, I can just imagine what he was going through. That's why I'm saying I would used to see the videos, the emotional, all of that kind of stuff happening. But what did I pay? What did I do? What did I sacrifice? So what is our main priority? Why we need, you'll see I've got something, I'll show it now to you. But then the Lord asked me, what is our main priority? Why we need to lay down our life? And there the devil comes in and confuses us in this matter. People think that they should live their life their way. So there we get confused. What is our priority? Why do we have to lay down? Do we lay it down emotionally or do we lay it down joyfully? Okay. The world wants your life. We yearn long desire for approval. The devil wants you to give your career, family, to become our main priorities and purpose in life. The devil wants you to be passive. And I looked at the word passive, and the meaning is accepting or allowing what happens or what others do without active response or resistance. That's being passive. I spoke to someone this week. My son, they went on a tour and they've got this one coach that he swears a lot. And I spoke to one of my old friends and I asked him, what would he do in that situation? Well, he said, I would just take it. Soos water van die in sy rug. What's the English word for that? He says, I would just let it go. Yeah. And he would just take it because we are Christians. We are strong. We can take it. We won't be tempted to swear or whatever or do that kind of stuff. And I said to him, no, I don't think it needs to be that way. We need to be different. We need to say, listen, yeah, that is not right. I'm not saying I'm going to move my child now to wherever because everywhere it's going to happen. But he came to me and asked me, Dad, are we going to tolerate this? Are we going to try and just get a position in the team so that we just tolerate this? And he said himself that, I would rather not play rugby then. A 10-year-old boy, 11 years. So you see, I'm going there. So you understand what it means to, for that scripture in our community we've been working on conforming not to the patterns of this world, but the renewing of the mind. And then I was like to myself, but surely if my son tells me, what are we going to do about this? Running to the teacher, telling him, listen here, what, you can't do this and lay all the rules down. Yes, we need to try and do that as well. But we need to teach our children, and we need to also be like that, that we don't conform to the things of this world. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to settle for less. Just saying, I'll take it for a year, it's fine, as long as I can get this position. You understand? We normally fight for a position, so we will take anything that comes its way. The Lord showed me practically how we can compromise in our ways towards worldliness. So if you can just bear with me, I'm not going to be that long. So, just building blocks, and we spoke about this morning. Can you see at the back? Can I just get some water? This English is getting my tongue. So just some things in my life that the Lord has been working on in my life that I did not lay down at his feet. Things that as my daily walk with the Lord that is that I improvise and everything is our identity. If you look at this world and you look at the things of this world and where people find their identity and the ways that they are doing things and how they are, it just shows that people are not spending time in the Word. People are not praying. People are not spending time with other Christians. So then we find our identity in the things of this world. And if we struggle with this, then you'll see all of the other things will struggle. So I'm going to show you by this is the things that are blocking us, and then we're going to show you how to lay it down. Okay. Sintani Noni is showing me I've got a chicken in the oven. You need to be quick. So we won't be that long. So identity. So I'm not going to go through all of them, please, for time's sake. As we lay them down, you know yourself that this is something that I struggle with. This is something that I never knew. Listen here. Is it something that is blocking my view of serving the Lord? So as I go, I'm going to lay them down, and we might just talk a little bit about them. Second one is family, career. Okay, this one is also ouch for a lot of us. Francois, what do you mean with family and career? This is just what I did at the time. I've got an autistic daughter. So there was a time where we made excuses not to go to church because she is not going to behave herself. She's not going to do all of this kind of stuff. So you see, I was looking for excuses not to go to church. Not just that, but sometimes we place our family, we place our desires, the things that we want in this life, so much on family. Can you listen? I can. Sorry, this one didn't want to. And these are the ones that I got caught up a lot in, is my family, placing them, always saying, listen, yeah, I can't come to community tonight because the children needs to be early, in bed. You understand all of those kind of things. I would say the biggest success of Caleb being where he is, the faith that's already been, it's not just me. He was raised in church. He was literally, on Thursday night, when Debbie was at praise and worship, he was laying there as a baby. He was walking around, singing, taking part. We need to let our children grow up in the church. It's very important. Bring them, rather not make them an excuse not to come. Okay, that's the easiest thing that we do, is family. No, I need to do this, or I can't go, I never see you. All that kind of stuff. I do understand that we need to make time for our family. What I loved about a picture of Andrew Sally now in Cape Town, or America, is where he said, the time that they do get together, they quickly try and spend it together. Then I think by myself, I don't think they get a lot of time together, but when they do get that time, they spend it together. So we need to make sure that the time that we do get, we do spend it with the family. I'm not saying don't spend any time with my family, with your family, career. This is where a lot of us are taking that, where we lay our career before anything, before our family, before our religion, before everything is our career. I did that. I used to work for a company that I worked from 6 until 9, 10 at night, chasing money. That was the worst time of my life. I made the most money ever, but it was the worst time of my life. I know that the Lord already called me back then. But what did I do? I laid this down before Him so He couldn't get hold of me. My career was much more important. We need this, but it's very important that we don't place this before the Lord. Okay? I wish I had a headset or something. Habits. Okay. We've been talking in the community a lot about our habits, our patterns in life. Because this is how we start living life, is our habits. When we get hurt, whatever happens in our lives, then we start building our lives around our habits, our discipline. Yeah, I've just tried to fit in a lot of them because there is a lot of them, but I'm just trying to get the ones that I think that are very important or things in my own life that I had to lie down. Okay, habits. This one is very important. This is physical, emotional, social, all that kind of stuff that we take habits and things the way we do it. I used to be a fitness instructor. So Gert came to me now recently. And that's why I love God's people. I just love people that someone can come up to me and say, Francois, There's something on your life. But you need to make sure that you lay this down before the Lord. Because this is the first thing that people see when they see you. Is they see, what do you look like? Overweight. Is this then excellence? Is this how the Lord wants you to be and to operate? And being like this, overweight and all of this kind of stuff, has become where I lost discipline, where all of those things, where I don't feel happy anymore, where I don't have energy anymore. You understand? All of those kind of things. So it's things that are keeping me back from building God's house. Selfishness. Self-centered. That was one I struggled a lot with in my life, where if I wanted to pray in the church or pray wherever I would want to, how did I pray? How did it make a difference? All of that kind of stuff. We want to give a word, but maybe Hoya didn't share the word. So now we feel, listen, yeah, but why didn't he share the word? That was a good word. I need to be seen. I need to be heard. And that's something we can get caught up. It's all about us. Where we get so self-centered in our way of doing Christ, in our way of walking with people, in our way of just reaching out to the community. Okay, we'll be quick now. Fear, worry, anxiety, these are just all part of them. Failures. For time's sake, I'm just going to, then we'll explain. Hurt. Disappointment. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Okay. This. There's like filters down to all of them. This is one thing that I used to be my comfort. I can't come to church because I'm tired. I worked 12 hours yesterday. I can't come to church. I can't go to community comfort. Just the thing we were talking this week about high places. And I think this is one of the high places in Bloemfontein where our comfort. You're not going to tell me to pray or to share about Jesus. Then they'd start talking about Cheslin Kolbe. Yes, Cheslin Kolbe is great. But don't talk about Jesus because it's my comfort. You understand? And some people ask me, yeah, but why? I always make sure that I can't work with somebody for 2 or 3 or 4 years and I've never told them about Jesus. They literally sit there next to me and I've never told them about Jesus. Okay. Need to make sure in our workplace, wherever we are, that we talk to people about Jesus. So all of these things, for time's sake, unforgiveness, bitterness, I can't forgive my friend, I can't forgive my family member, then we start holding bitterness. Bitterness is a terrible thing to hold on. Okay, I've been bitter my whole life. I almost played professional rugby, hurt my knee. I was saved before that. Hurt my knee. Went back again, hurt my same knee, 2 weeks in. And back then, it's not a long time ago before you think 40 years ago. The medical staff and the physios and everything, it took up to 9 months to a year for rehabilitation. Now it's quick, it's 4, 6 months, okay. So I just came back, wanted to sign my junior contract. Again, knee goes, you understand? Now I'm this Christian. But I haven't laid down a lot of things in my life. I think, listen, you're being a Christian. Because I just, when I got saved, then I started playing, excelling in rugby. I was literally 19 years old, signing signatures. You understand that kind of stuff? And then it hits again. And I didn't know what to do. I was lost. I didn't know how to. This is all I knew. This is what I built my life upon. I built my life literally upon this. My career. What I was going to become, a rugby player. And as soon as this happened, this came in, bitterness, for years. I just didn't know how to fight back. Because I had a problem here. I had an identity problem. Okay. Someone asked me 4 weeks ago, but why did you stop playing rugby? I used to make a lot of excuses. My knee, I couldn't come back. Yes, I had problems with my knee, but if I really fought back, I would have been able to play again. But I had a problem here with my identity. I started having disappointment in my life. Unforgiveness unto God, saying, how can you do this to me? Bitterness. So after the bitterness, selfishness started coming in my life that, yeah, this didn't happen, this didn't work out, so it's not going to work out for you. So I will make sure that you won't excel in your life. I was like that. That is how I used to, that's how I became in my life, that if I can't make it, you're not going to make it. And then, yeah, I just went back into the world, and the Lord was just looking just to get me back again. And I just remember the last night, this is while I was saved, I knew the truth, everything. And it still feels to today, it feels like it's almost like a dream. We were drinking, a lot of friends, and we were literally 12 friends that were drinking. And my one friend, he just started bursting out in tears. And he said he can't take this life anymore. This life is too much for him. And I remember, I went to him. I started praying. And all 12 of us started praying in the Holy Spirit. I still can't remember. But we just started, everyone just started praying in the Holy Spirit. I was like, I'm done with this. I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry that I left you. That I didn't, you have an identity for my life. But I choose not to believe that. That I started becoming selfishness, that I started becoming building habits in my life, that my career was more important than you, that my failures were more important to you. Now I had a fear. What am I going to do? Where am I going to work? What am I going to be part of? You see, all of these stuff became so much that I always ask, where is the Lord? I can't see the Lord. But we are so hidden behind all of this. We are so hidden behind what we have built up in our lives that we can't see what the Lord wants to do. But we can't understand. Our community leader is inviting us to community. Why is people not reaching out to me? Why is people not caring about me? Why does people not love me? They say they're Christians. Where are they? You see, we build this thing in front of us that we don't see that the world and the Lord is literally here, standing here before us, waiting for us to make that decision. People is there to assist us. That's the one thing that I love about Josh Chen, is when one Sunday you're not at church, the guy will phone you, is something wrong? You understand? That's how much they care about you. And that, I just love that about the church, that they are worrying, where is the guy next to me? So you understand? So we need to stop letting all these things that we hide behind all of this, and we can't understand why the Lord can't hear what we are saying, why the Lord, why we can't see the Lord, why we feel that we are disqualified, why do we feel that we are not good enough, why we feel that, Lord, why are you not using me, why am I not part of this, why am I so shy, why don't I understand these things, you understand? So these are the things that we are blocking in our lives. And today we need to make this decision that this we are going to joyfully lay down before his feet today. Guy, you want to go here? If I have to take this, and I have to tell you, Juan, take all of this on yourself. You see what's happening? And you know, you need to walk with me. Come, Juan. We need to live life. We need to every day see the Lord. I'm here. I'm here, Johan. I'm here. You see, Johan can't see where I am at. Because there's so much that he's carrying on himself. There's so much that he didn't joyfully lay down, emotionally laying down. And what happens as well is sometimes, just gonna put them, is we lay it down, Johan. Sit what I booked on here. We lay it down there at the cross. But then afterwards, we come back again and we say, listen here, what is this? Selfishness. Use that one. We lay it down at the cross, but then after a while we're like, but I need this in my life. This used to be my comfort. This used to be something. Now I have to step out and become this person I never used think I could be or used to be. So now I come fetch this box again. You understand? So then, what do we do? pile it up again. I go my failures, Lord. I failed so much. My anxiety, my fear, come lay them down. Then we start inviting someone. We're talking to them. We're saying, listen, Ioana, how's your life? How's your things? Come to church. Come enjoy what the Lord wants to do. Then Ioana go picks that up again. You understand? Then we go build that up again. Instead of laying it down willingly, laying it down joyfully, we need to lay it down. You want, come with the box. We are also like this, as people, just one box, is we want to lay it down, but we are holding on to it. We are holding on to it. Lord, but take it. No, no. You understand? We give it to the Lord, but we want it back the altar. And we as community leaders, we as church members, Josh, Jess members, we are there. We literally want to take it from you, the altar. You on? Let me help you in those areas. You understand? But this is how we become. We're behind our identity. This is what we believe of ourselves. This is who I am. Then Yuan wants to tell you are more than a conqueror. No, Yuan. So you understand? That is what we are doing in this life, is we don't willingly lay it down. People are there to help you. People are there to assist you. What I love about this is, let me just get that. Devote yourself not just to Jesus, but to His church. And Aya and Paul were preaching about that a lot the last few weeks. That we need to not just devote ourselves, everything now, to Jesus, that we start forgetting the Lord's people. You need to give yourself to the church. We have talked about helping, building the church, giving guidance and help, serving in the church. How are we serving in God's church? Are we holding, are we laying our own bricks? Are we building our own way? Like we said about habits, we spoke about habits when we spoke about how to build the church. How are our habits? How do we build? Are we healthy? Are we healthy enough to build? So we made sure that the people in our community is healthy to build. What are our habits? Why do we not want to build? Because of selfishness, because of hurt, disappointment, of habits happening in our lives. Can I ask the band if they can come forward along? Mark 8, 34. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he told them, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will save it. It calls us to follow Jesus selflessly, even if it means suffering or sacrifice. The chapter illustrates the riches of spiritual understanding and the cost of true discipleship, inviting us to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, not just for Him, for His miracles, but for His message. Jesus shares about the cost of discipleship, asking His followers to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him. He affirms that gaining the world is worthless if one loses their soul in the process. And in landing, I want to ask you these questions. Have you lost your life, or are you still holding on to the things of this world? Has this world come to take your attention away? Do you live to follow God, to disciple nations, or are you following your career, your family, out of your comfort? Jesus asked you, pick up your cross with me and die with me. Have you really died with Christ? Are you rooted in Him? Is your life your own, or is your life His? Tough times are still coming. You can't change your surroundings. God has a plan for your life, and the only way you will see it is to lay it down, to lose it, bury it with Him, and trust Him. To say, I don't live for myself anymore. I live for the one who called me. The one who died for me and is raised again. If you die with Him, you will be raised with Him. And the kingdom of God will come through you in the ways that you would never have dreamed or imagined. This is my first time preaching. Some of you would say, I can see it. And then some of you won't believe it. You know how long it's taken me to lay down my life? The Lord has so much plans for my life. And when I came into George Den, what I loved about this church is people said, I see something on you, Franjo. No one has ever told me I see something on your life. And it took me 10 years. The Lord has told me so many times, I've got such a plan for your life. I've seen it. When I was a young little boy, I grew up in apartheid. I used to play with the African kids. I was the only one. Kids' mom said, you will not come and sleep over at our house because you're playing with kids you're not supposed to play with. You understand? That's what the things that I knew already, God, there must be something different on my life. There must be something. And I choose to take all of that self-centeredness, selfishness, all of those things, friends, all of it started blocking my view of what God had. I never lay it down joyfully. I always hold on to it and said, no, Lord, I can't preach in front of people. No, Lord, I'm too scared. When I used to do mondeling, what is mondeling in English? Oral. I would literally puke before the time. I would make myself sick not to go speak oral. I could not speak in front of one person. But look at what the Lord has done. And I know I'm going to preach in front of many. And He started something because I willingly laid it down. I said, I need to lay it down, no more. And I'm literally at that place. I said to my wife last night, if I have to lay it down all, leave my work, everything, I would step into ministry today. I would do that because I see the need. I see what the Lord wants to do in my life. I've blocked everything. I've blocked Him out so much in my life. Now that all of that I've laid down, I can see Him now clearly. I can see the plan that He has for my life. I can see what He has done for me. Now I know what He has done for me. Let's close our eyes.